go into the words today. And today's gonna be interesting one. Today, guys, I would like to talk to you about three steps to your promise. Do you know when you called by God, you have promise from God? You get into that promise when you have relationship with Jesus. No person or human cannot tell you who you are. It's only Jesus, only the one who designed you and born you into his kingdom. So when you seek his face, you give your life to him, he will tell you exactly who you are, because you already come pre-built for something. Do you know that? Do you ever ask yourself, why I love what I love? I don't like what I don't like. Why do I have this character? Why I love to do business or I hate business? Or I can sing or I cannot sing? See, all these traits are already given to some of you because you have purpose, promise, and destiny. And your, see, do you know what miserable people are? It's people who are misplaced. The devil's idea to give you someone else's destiny and give to them, give them your destiny. And you're always fighting against something, you're breaking yourself, you're unhappy. But when you find your calling, when you find your promise, you are absolutely happy. It's like you're taking a fish and releasing into the water. You're just like, whoa, what is going on? This is you. You are pre-built to be in that environment. You already have everything you need to be victorious. Do you know this, guys? You already have that. So please understand, don't listen to people what you're supposed to do, who you're supposed to be. They have no clue who they are. You think they know who you are? Look for Jesus, all right? Okay, three step into your promise. Today, everybody will go through them. I did go through all three, so now I have authority to teach on that. In a minute, you'll get it. Why? Let's start with the passage from the Bible, one of my favorites. It's about Isaac's and the three wells he had to redog. Do you know the story? Let's read that story. Let's remind you some of them. All right, Genesis 26 from verse 17. Isaac departed from there and pitched tents in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and which the Philistines has filled up after the death of Abraham. And he called them by the same names that his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of living water. And the shepherds of Gerar argued with the shepherds of Isaac, saying, the water is ours. See, listen really carefully. The water, they argued, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well, Esek. Because they argued with him. He dug another well. They also argued about him, and he called his name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, about which they no longer argued, and he called that well Rehoboth. For he said, now the Lord has given us the precious place, a spacious place, and we will multiply in the earth. So, three wells, three seasons. Get ready. I'm not going to be long, but you will not escape this. When you're called by God, when you have a promise from God, first well, let's go for the first well. First well, it's called Esek, which means dispute, all right? So what does it mean? That means this is your well, you worked on it, but this is not your place. So please understand, The first of all, when you understand who you are and start moving in your calling, you're usually in someone else's place. You get that, right? You go to some church, you start a ministry, you dig some well, you play on some stage, you speak, you pray, you move in all kinds of things, right? And it's actually your well, you dug it up, but this is not your place. And argument come. See, how I know this is not my place? I cannot hold on to it. Do you know why people are so frustrated? They always fight for something that they need to let go. Pause. Think about it. Yes, this is your well. You spend so much time on it. You wasted a lot of years of your life. But this is well not This is not your well. This is for your training. God is teaching you something in here. This is the season when you will work and someone else will take the credit. Hello, someone. You say, why? Because God is, he need to humble you. First of all, you know that? You need to be humbled. you need to submit. You need to learn how to dig. You need to know how to work. Why? Because he has a promise for you. So first well is your well, not your place. You waste a lot of time. You pray, you fight, and it's always arguments. Always arguments. Can I do this? No, you cannot do this. Can I pray? No, you cannot. It's actually your ministry, but it's not your ministry. I remember my well. Do you want to listen to my well? You know, some of you will dug just one essek. I probably dug about five. It was a lot of esseks in my life. So I remember meeting Jesus, like, getting encountered with God, and it's like, I'm gonna do something for Jesus. And I go to one of the churches, become a member of the church, and start the youth ministry, you know? And I start youth ministry, and I'm digging that well, working for a few years, giving it all, my time, my mind, my energy, my money, everything, building the youth from nothing. And the funny thing is, I built it so well that pastor of that church got so intimidated because youth service was twice as big as the regular service. Do you know you can dig? All right? You know you can dig. And I'm just like, you know, I'm at the youth service. This is my youth ministry. I was a young buck, you know, like doing something for Jesus. No, I know what to do. I know who I am. But this is not your place. Please understand, some of you, and don't be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. You will dig someone. And you know what? I built beautiful ministry for somebody, guys. You have no idea. You're like, and please understand, I probably built five ministries during that period for someone else, not even mine. I usually don't learn real well, so I need to, I need to dig and dig. And it's like, I'm not digging anymore. I'm really tired. And Jesus said, okay, now you know how to let go. And I'm digging that ministry, and the pastor, he said, and One evening, you know, I'm preaching, and I see pastor of the church. He never shows up at the meetings, never, ever. He didn't even care about the youth. I see him, it was a religious church, like religious. I see him like coming to meetings and then coming to the second meeting, third. I see him like, and then he start bringing his deacons. I see like whole back row filled with pastor, main pastor, and like four or five deacons. And I said, something's cooking that I don't think I'm gonna like. And like I'm preaching, and you know when you're preaching and somebody like staring you down, and you're like, Jesus, and like, ooh, you know this is your well, but you know this is not your place. Oh, come on, guys. You know, and I'm like, I'm trying to hold on. And then like, hey, Andre, what? We would like to talk to you. And my goodness, goosebumps. And I'm like, ooh, that was a fear of the Lord, probably not of the Lord, but fear came over me. It's like, what they want to talk about? I'm excellent steward. I built this beautiful ministry. I built it too well. I built it too big for them. And they become intimidated. They thought I'm gonna take it away. They thought I'm gonna split the church, but I do not care. I don't even want, you know, to be a pastor or anything. All I want to do is just bring youth to Jesus. That's it, guys. And in that group, it was about 200 people. Imagine, I built from nothing, youth from scratch to 200 people. So it was like a big, big building, and it was really successful. And we started bringing like people that play and pray and you know, worship Jesus. And they like do not like the direction I'm going. And like, we would like to talk to you and say like, since you're not really a member of this church, and I totally forgot, I never filled out the membership. You know, like I became a member and I totally forgot to fill out the membership. They gave it to me, but I never bring it back. They said like, and they found the loophole. They're like, I'm sitting there, like, you know, like shaking in my boots. You know, those religions meetings, right? Bad one. And I'm sitting like shaking there. I'm, I don't know, like 18, 19 years old before I got married. And I was just shaking in my boots. And they said like, do you know that you're not really a member of our church? I said, what? I was coming to the church for years and I'm not a member. It's like, we don't have your application, sir. So like, whoa, let me fill it up. I think, no, you're not going to fill it up anymore. I said like, why? Because we don't think you are a good fit for this ministry. And I'm like, what is going on? Somebody kicking me away? Somebody taking my well? And Jesus telling me, let go. I said, no, I'm going to fight. Jesus said, you're going to lose this battle. I said, no, I'm going to fight. Dude, I lost this battle badly. I lost it so badly because when Jesus tried to teach you something, but it's not yours, he needs to take it away. Oh, I'm starting to do a little coup, you know, like little revolution. I'm just like, hey guys, I have a, you know, 200 people, a lot of people. And I said like, let's do something. And everybody says like, yeah, we love you. We're going to be with you. I said, next time they come to the church, you say, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, we all disagree. I'm going to be a pastor and you guys will back me up. And they say, yeah. Yeah, sure. And service comes. I see that elite, you know, like religious people come and it should be my last service. They say like, gracefully, get lost. And I don't want to grace to get lost. I want to keep this ministry. You know what I mean? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to let go. And I was just like, okay, guys, this is the time. I'm coming up on the stage and I'm saying like, I'm saying Jesus called me to do this ministry. And there's a lot of people in this building that agree with me. Come on, people. Nobody's standing up. Like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like trying to hold on for something that's not mine, guys. Do you know how pathetic I looked? It was so pathetic. I'm saying like, and I don't like myself when I'm saying it. I was like, you don't look good. Because you become, when you, when it's not legally yours, and Jesus teaching me a lesson, son, when it become yours, nobody can take it away. Please understand, but some of us, we invest so much into this ESSEC, so much, but somebody comes and say like, no, yeah, we watched you dig, you dig well, you dig real good, but get out of here now. And I was like, you know, it was so sad. I looked really pathetic because I begged, I cried, I tried to do a little revolution. Nobody followed and, you know, tried to split and nothing happens because God teaching me, this is not yours. Learn to let go. I was so devastated. I come home, I said like, Jesus, I don't want to do this no more. And it's not mine. I was really feeling upset. And then, you know what? After like a month, I got healed. And I said, let's try it again. I got really healed. I prayed a lot. You know, I fasted for a week or something, read a lot of Bibles. I was like, you know what? I'm bored. Let's do something else. Dude, I'm opening another home cell and it starts growing. No. That story is a little different. I come to the home cell that somebody invited me And since I can speak and people love my revelations, they say like, and the leader of that home cell, he said like, dude, you teach so well. Can you teach every home cell? I said like, sure, why not? You know, and Jesus told me, don't dig, don't dig, don't dig. And I was like, I'm gonna dig. And Jesus said, gonna be my stake. I said, I think I'm gonna dig. I know I'm speaking to some of you, I know. And I said, it was a long time ago, but it was so funny. And he said like, from now on, you teach. Dude, I start teaching, that home cell exploded again. It was so successful. Pastor of that church came to the meeting and have to physically kick me out. Physically, he's like, you're no longer welcome. This is not, and he's like, listen, looking to that leader and say, why did you allow this to happen? And he's like sitting, he's teaching so well, I can't like even compare to him, people love him. I said like, see? He said like, no, get out. I'm like, okay, I got out. You know, and a few things like that, then I opened like a prayer ministry, you know? I rented out little building. It was so funny. Guys, but well after well, my well, but not my place. It was not my place. It was not my place. It was not my place. And Jesus told me, how well can you let go? See, first of all, you need to learn to let go. Remember Joseph? Imagine how bad it was when he was like betrayed by the house and the person that he loved and ministered and served. And you're like sitting in jail, like, what did I do wrong? But you need to learn how to let go. This is lesson number one. And trust me, you you don't want that one. And then I said like, okay, I'm done. I'm not gonna build anymore on someone else's ground. I got the lesson. Now I said, I'm gonna pray. And you know, but God is, you know what he's doing, leading you through these wells? He's taking you to the end of your ego and of yourself. Do you know where your ministry begin? When your ego end. As soon as you die, that's where you start. Where you end, and you no longer my will. I don't want to do this no more. And I said like, I was not in that period. I'm kind of jumping around, but you know, but second well, it was an interesting one. I said like, okay, since everybody kicking me out and I'm feeling like I'm building ministries for someone else, let me build and open my church. And I said like, I'm gonna open the church. There was like a few people with me. I already grew like a home cell, like a really good home cell. And I said like, I'm gonna open the church. Over there, it was like a 30 people home cell in 1997. And I'm opening my first church, calling it a new generation church. We are new generation. Yeah. You know, this well, I called it Sitna. It's called resistance. I'll explain in a minute. What does it mean? It means it's your well, but it's not your time. Oh, please, if you only get me. First well, it's your well, it's not your place. Second well, it's your well, but it's not your time. See, what devil trying to do, guys, with us, he always tries to push us into our calling earlier than you supposed to. Remember, Jesus in the desert, when Satan tried to tempt him, do you remember what Satan tempted him with? He tempted him with Jesus's calling. You know, he said like, eat the bread, make sure, can you make the stones, you know, bread out of stones? Of course Jesus can, but it's early. He's not supposed to do miracles at this point. You see my point, guys? He tried to push him into his destiny, but not in his time. See, second lesson that we have to learn. Don't open anything because you feel like you can. Because it might be your well, but this is not your time. And then Satan told him, oh, you want all this world to, you know, be yours? He said, like, bow down to me. Do you know, guys, that time will come, but all her whole earth, everybody will bow down, bow their knees before Jesus. See, please understand, Satan will tempt you with your calling. That's why we are tempted. He will tempt you with your passions, your desires. He will tempt you with stuff that God put inside of you. That's why that temptation works. But you have to hold on until the right time. I didn't listen. I built my first church. Church started to grow. 30 people, 50 people, about 75 people church. Young church, about 2 years old. And then resistance comes. Oh, guys, you have no idea. I never knew. You know when people said like, oh, I'm burning out. And you like asking, dude, you have a 15 people home cell. How can you burn it out? Because when you do something yours, but not in your time, you will burn out. Please understand, guys. That means you carry the load that you cannot carry at this stage of your life. That means you are driving a car without license. You're not yet old enough to reach the pedals. That's why they give license at 16 and so on. Not a 10-year-old. So first one, I know my calling. It's not my place. Okay, I learned to let go. Second will, still coming out of my will, still digging, still my will, but it's not the right time. So second will teach me the lesson. I supposed to be a pastor. This is really good, but this is killing me. You know what I mean, guys? This is like, I was burnout, guys, I was burnout completely in 2 years by like 70 people. I burned out. I said like, no longer, I cannot do this anymore. I'm done. I'm gonna just sit at somebody else's church pew and just gonna worship Jesus. I'm not gonna do ministry ever again. I'm done. It was so bad because resistance, you know what I mean, guys? It's somebody always resists you. You said like, it's gonna be like this, but it's yes, it's your will, but it's from your own church. It's constant resistance because when God is not give you the authority, you have to fight for authority. Do you understand what I mean? Oh, if you only knew what I mean, guys. It's like when God gives you authority, people recognize it. People see it. I'm not fighting for it. Either I have it or people don't recognize it and they just leave. But whatever people who's around me, they recognize the authority that God gave me. I'm not fighting for it. I'm not making you sure you like me, boy. I'm not pressuring you into doing anything. I'm not scaring you into like me. I'm just me. You just you. And you have natural respect that God commands, not me. Do you know what I mean, guys? God commands respect, not me. Actually, good sermon last time. Bring back the honor, man. Yeah. Bring back the honor. We need to bring back the honor. That's a different topic. Okay. Sitna, resistance. Your will, not your time. Oh my goodness. I fought and I fought and I pushed and I pushed. People did. Do you know how that church fell apart? People in the church got the rebellion, you know, like they rebelled. They're like, we're not gonna follow you anymore. I said like, I'm the pastor of the church, you will. They said like, we're not. I said like, Jesus, what's going on? They said like, you are not. It's like, you've seen those kids, like 2 years old, try to wear adult pants and shoes. That's how I looked in the spirit world. Like toddler trying to wear like, you know, like with my phone and my boots and my pants as a 40-year-old. I'm 2 years old. I looked funny. I'm fighting for my authority, which God did not give me. I took it. And do you know why people are miserable being pastors, worship leaders, youth pastors? Why are they miserable? Because they have to constantly pressure people into liking them, following them, respecting them. It's not gonna work. In other words, second well, that's when you learn what resistance is. Trust me, I have resistance, but it's not from people. You understand what I mean? Resistance from Satan, of course, he hates us all. It's nothing new. But when I build out of love. Respect comes naturally. Basically, when God gives you something, it's yours. Nobody can argue with it. Nobody can resist, or they can try. It's not gonna work. So that's why you're constantly fighting, losing your energy, burning yourself out, because you're trying to hold on for something that it's not yours at this time. It's maybe yours, but you need to grow into it. And that fiasco was beautiful. Oh my gosh, that was more pathetic than the first well. People start dividing what they gave to church, and they say, like, this speaker belongs to me. I paid for it. And somebody trying to drag the speaker. The other guy's like, I'm paying for this microphone. This is mine. And like, what's going on, Jesus? Guys, that was total nightmare. That was that destruction, that was so funny. And like, looking at it, trying to hold on for some guitar that I don't even need. You guys have no idea how pathetic I look, trying to hold on something, but mine, but is not in my time. Please, this is the lessons of my life, and I want you to go through them through me, please. But you will still go through some of it, okay? You will understand how this works. Again, I speak to people who are cold, who have a vision, who have a destiny, and I know it's most of you, because we are children of God, most of us. So please understand, the second well is, and I'm trying to hold on for some microphone and the cords. It's like, no, you're not, I sow too. And they say like, we see you sow, we sow. And there is a few businessmen was in the church and they're like, we sow the most, we're gonna take all of it and resell and get our money back. And I think, Jesus, what's going on? Church is falling apart. And Jesus tell me, let me tell you something, that was never a church. That's whatever you come up with, you call it what it is. This is your thing. And he told me, you will not hold on to it because you are not able to sustain it. You're not able to keep it because you're not old enough in the spirit to keep it. And I said, Jesus, what should I do? He said, let go. And then I said, I'm letting this go and I'm never gonna be a pastor. I said, like, Jesus, never call me. Get rid of my phone number. I'm not gonna respond to you. All I'm gonna do is just a normal Christian, just sit in the pews. Trust me, I never rebel against God. I rebelled against position and ministry, you know, never against God. I said, like, I'm gonna be a good Christian. And then you know what? I quit everything. It was different, you know, different ditch. You know, sometimes you're in that ditch, you're doing everything, you're getting moon for Jesus. You know what I mean? And then you get it out of that ditch, and then it's like, oh, pity me, nothing's gonna do, let me die, I'm done. Somebody shoot me right now. And that was like a second, and Jesus said like, hey, I'm taking you to the end of yourself, self. You, me, I want. Jesus said, like, die, please, die. And like, no, you know, like, we don't like to die. We like to have an opinion. And Jesus said, unless I'm squeezing everything out of you and killing that ego of yours, you cannot move in my kingdom. I cannot trust you, the thousands of souls. You see my point, guys? God wants to give you something precious. But you need to have a right license at the right time, and you need to be appointed by God, not by man or by you. Do you get something out of it, guys? It is funny, but this is my story. That's my story. It is funny one. Trust me, I look back at it. It was bad when I go through it. Now it's like I look at it like, whew, that was so funny. And I'm trying to hold on. That guy dragging the microphones away. The other one like taking the piano, rolling piano away. The other one gets like, this is my guitar. And everybody like fighting against each other, against me. I'm like, Jesus, I don't think this is church. And he tells me, I told you. This is some kind of a Christian club that we like, you know, threw money together and just did something. And everybody says like, I don't think you are a pastor. And I said like, I'm a pastor. I said like, Jesus didn't tell me you are a pastor. You know, when you constantly remind people in the period of 2 years that you're a pastor, you're not a pastor. If you need to tell everybody, hello, I'm a pastor, you're not a pastor. When Jesus give you the title, people will recognize it and respect it. Please understand this. Okay, guys, I'm not gonna bore you too long, but I'm getting into it. I'm getting into the third one. You know what? It's only three. And then period in my life comes when I said, like, nothing. I'm not gonna do anything. I'm gonna be just a Christian. I joined the one of the mega churches here. Do you know Casey Treat? I think, yeah, really awesome church, huge church. I said, like, I'm gonna get lost over here, you know, because it's thousands of people. Nobody knows me. Nobody cares. I don't care. I just want to worship and get out. And I did that for 4 years, guys, 4 years. I said, like, you know what? This is good. And I didn't even care about ministry anymore. I said, like, you know what? Worshiping Jesus, this is all I want. Oh, and Jesus, like, oh, you're coming closer, my boy. You're coming real close when you no longer want anything except Jesus. You know when you're ready? Do you know, guys, when you're ready? When you don't want anything. You're ready when you really, honestly love Jesus, but you don't want to do anything. Because you know how much it costs. You know how much energy you have to give. How much effort. And you said, like, you know what? If it's not Jesus, I'm not even considering it. And Jesus have to, you know, Jesus have to, like, push you. You know, every people that of destiny in the Bible, Jesus have to, God have to push them. Remember Moses, burning bush, such a beautiful scene. And God calling Moses out of the burning bush, Moses! And he's like, yeah, you are called, you're gonna bring my people. And he said, like, you know what, God, I'm kind of over it. Can you pick my brother? Remember that thing? Can you imagine God is talking to you out of the bush that's not burning out and you, like, pointing fingers, I don't want this calling anymore, Jesus, please. See, this is the guy that really ready. You think God pick me? He's like, you're not ready. Soon as you're like, don't pick me, he's like, oh, you're ready now. See, that's how it works, because your flesh must let go. You need to die to yourself, to your wants. Because what? Because as soon as God give you authority, you're gonna build your kingdom, not his. See, guys, that's the problem. You will build your kingdom. And now you see those mega churches falling like ham bam, boom bam, because it's not built on Jesus. Honestly, guys, honestly, I love people, but it's not built on God. That's why it's falling apart, falling apart. And they try to hold on to it. Ah, I'm not bashing on churches. I love churches. I love pastors. I know how difficult it is, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. And after 4 years of peace and tranquility and love and butterflies and unicorns, and I said, I don't want nothing. All I wanted ginger ale and Jesus. I don't care. I'm reading my Bible. I'm loving my life without ministry. Honestly, I said, like, who in the right mind wants ministry? Because I've been through all of these wells, and I said, like, I don't know. You have to be insane to want that. You have to be insane to want that. And I said, like, I'm not gonna dig. And one day, guys, you know, when Jesus comes, there is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do. After 4 years of, you know, rainbows and unicorns and butterflies, Jesus show up in my prayer time in the morning. And he said, you know, when he push you to do something, if you resist, it becomes louder. You resist, it becomes louder. You resist, it becomes a nightmare. All you see is his voice, is his signs, and you cannot work, you cannot sleep, you cannot eat. Because when God's gonna try to tell you, you will listen. You said, like, I don't listen to God. I said, that means God is not speaking to you. When God speaks, there is no avoiding it. And I'm like, what do you want, Jesus? And Jesus, like, hello, time to dig. I said, dig? I can polish this thing and give it to someone else. I can give this beautiful shovel, I mean ministry, you know, like calling your mentor, you know how we like to, can you pray for me?
When people said like, come, I'll pray for you, I said, I pray for yourself. See you later. Because I know how much the thing costs. People who run for calling, I feel sorry for you. Usually when you're ready, you run from calling. And then fish have to eat you and spit you out. Because you're not running towards calling, you're running away. Huh. Remember David? It's like, seems like everything David did, it's refused to be a king. They come, hey, Saul, right there. He's like, he's in the woods doing his thing. You can kill him right now. He's like, right there. He's right there behind the tree, right there. He's like, no, I'm not gonna touch him. I'm not gonna do it. And he running from his calling. Do you know that he even killed the dude that brought him the crown? He's like, what is this? This is the Saul's crown. I saw him, I killed him, and here you go. He said, you killed the king Saul, here you go, boy. It's like, what do you mean? You are called by God to be a king? Guys, people who really called, they don't really want that calling. And that's what makes them fit for the duty. Because it's not you. You will not push it. You will do only and exactly what Jesus wants. No more, no less. Because what? Why? Why? Why should I do something? Because I, honestly, I don't want to. If Jesus is telling me to do this English services, you think I... Guys, this is a struggle for me. Trust me. I appear okay, but I'm not. I'm doing this English thing because God told me, invest into you. And I know I'm doing this because I know some of you will preach on this stage. I'm building this for you. This is only by the obedience. There is no wants, no needs. And God has to talk to me for 3 years, guys. For 3 years he spoke to me. English service, no. English service, let's stretch a little more. English service, God, if that's gonna be this sign and this sign, those signs are happening. Oh, come on, Jesus. Okay, let me flip around. As soon as this happens, and then I go to California to my friends, and I said, God, last thing, if random person comes up to me and tell me, you need to start the second English service, I'll obey. In the same weekend, one of the dudes that I knew from a long time come up to me, hey, Andre, why don't you start the second service? I almost shot him. I said, dude, shut up. He said, like, why? I said, don't say anything. And I said, like, now I have to do it. And I did it because that's the sign. If random people come to me and just say to me, you need to say, and it's like, why did you say that? I don't know, I just thought that thought and I thought I asked you and who knows. I said, dude, you have no idea what you're doing right now. You have no idea how much effort and energy I have to spend right now. Because I mean it, what I'm saying it. And God knows I will obey. He knows it. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, guys. Back to the story, to the third well. And God told me, time to dig. Same thing. I said, like, I need a couple of signs. Of course, I made like almost impossible signs to even do. God did all of them. And I said, like, okay. And then I said, okay. And we started, and I even told him, guys, you have no idea. This church started so funny because it's when it started, it didn't even been a church. We said, like, I had a little prayer group. People that I said, God is so funny. I said, Jesus, I will not quit ministry if there is only one person's gonna be in my life that he needs me. God gave me one person. For 4 years, one person come to my house every Thursday. It's a Sveta Ilnitsky. Ask her. I said, why did you come in here? She's like, God told me. I said, no, get out. And she's like, with the Bible, with the notes. Guys, I'm serious. I said, Jesus, if you give me only one person, Jesus gave me one person for 4 years. I said, are you kidding me, Jesus? He said, no, said, you want it? Yeah, you got it.
And I had to teach for you.
Some of people, Jesus, my home cell don't grow. I only have 7 people. Dude, I have 1 person for 4 years. You think you can beat that? Good luck. And I have to prepare a sermon, pray. Like my wife, my kids were like, Danny was like, I don't know. You're driving that Barbie Jeep back then. I don't know. He loved that Barbie Jeep. That Barbie Jeep, man. Pink Jeep. Oh my God, he loved the Jeep. Drifting nonstop around the neighborhood. And then we moved to another house. It's like, where did you get rid of that Jeep? You burned that thing to the ground. That thing no longer works. That's another story for another day. And Jesus told me, start. Put a signs. Guys, and the last one. That's why Isaac called Rehoboth, which means expense. Guys, to that well, I came absolutely dead to whatever I want. I no longer need anything from God. All I need is God. I said, you know what? I don't care about growth. I'm fine with one person. I did for 4 years, tried to do church. I said, like, you know what? But back then, we already went through Encounter in California, and like few more people joined. We had like a group about 7-8 people. And he said, you're gonna start revival that will not end in this state. I said, what is this, Jesus? He said, it's called Encounters. Guys, we do Encounters for 20 years. Can you imagine? For 20 years, all of you been touched by Encounters. Most of you have been through Encounters. And Jesus told me, this is what you will do. And I said, like, I'm not gonna open the church. I'm not gonna call it a church. I'm just gonna do Encounters with my 8 people, ministers. And then soon as we open first Encounter, I rent out the building in the mountains. A lot of people came in January 05, that's when it's born. And I said, if this is from God, I will see miracles and signs and wonders. Guys, at that Encounter, I saw literally finger grew on one girl. Finger that had been cut, and she cried to God, and she said, like, Jesus, give me a miracle, because she needs to, she's getting to get married next week, and the finger that is ugly, you know, cut up, like half of it gone, it's on your finger that ring's supposed to be. And she prayed, I talked to her later, she prayed, she said, like, God, on all of my picture, through the rest of my life, I'm gonna see this ugly finger. Because you know, when people take pictures on wedding, they take pictures of your hands. And she prayed, God, give me a miracle. And we're standing praying there, and she starts yelling, it grows. I said, what is going on? What grows? But she's yelling so hard, it grows. We all rush through that, and she's holding the cross, you know, the Encounter cross. And literally, I see, you know, did you guys ever blow up the balloon? You know, the balloon, when you blow up the balloon expands and opens. That's how that finger grew. I saw with my eyes how God grew the finger. Like, it's like popped, like poop, and it's normal, beautiful. And she said, like, wah! And a lot of people saw that miracle right there, like, in front of their faces. And I said, God, if this is what I have to do, I will do this. God, show me so I would not stop. You see, guys, what I mean? And this is how you dig your well. See, that well called expense, what does it mean? It's your well, your place, and your time. That well, nobody disputed. In the Bible, it says, nobody disputed, nobody argued, nobody fought for it. It is yours. And as soon as I step into the calling, I actually no longer want it. I saw the huge success, blessing, authority. It starting to going worldwide, touching a lot of people everywhere around the world. And this actually, that's why it's called Transformation Center International Church, okay? Because it's international. And we're building a lot of churches, and a lot of churches we're growing right now. You'll see them come up in a few years. Whew. Did you get it, what I'm saying, guys?
three wells, three stages of your life, and you think you are slaving for someone, guys, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Just continue to walk. Why? Until everything you want, you no longer want. Until you stop doing what you want, stop building yourself, and God leading you to the end of yourself, so His ministry through your gifts will start. And that's where real beginning is. It's when you no longer want it, no longer needs this, no longer it, because you are absolutely established as a son without ministry. If ministry giving you name and recognition, you are poor, poor soul. My son doesn't need to do anything to be my son. That revelation needs to sink into you. That means I said, God, I'm so in love with you, I don't need to do anything. Guys, only slaves work. Sons, they need to be actually kicked by father to do something. Yeah, then he's laughing. I was like, hey, did you do it? I'll do it. Go do it. I'll do it later. And he always argues with me. But because he don't care. He knows I love him. I'm not going to kick him out of the house yet. To be determined. Yeah, I'm fine. It's a joke. Of course, I'm not going to kick him out. He's free labor. He's like, come back from the Bethel. He's like, Pop, why don't you kick me out like all Americans? I said, you kidding me? Free labor, man. You gonna do what I said. He said, yes, sir. Yeah, so why? That's why he's still here. All right, I think I'm gonna end here. Do you guys get something today? Okay, love you. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Just pray over encouragement, guys. If you feel right now down, disappointed, discouraged, I actually want for you to come here. And our guys will pray for you. If you really need it, please come. Do we have music or music quit? or are musicians gone? Oh, music from Jesus. Thank you. That's what it's calling it, faking it, right? Okay, let's close our eyes. Jesus, thank you so much for your ministry. I thank you for this place. I thank you for this group of people that will take this to the next level. I'm praying for everyone, each of them, to recognize you, to know you, to know when to dig, when to not, when to move, when to not. And honestly, just don't be discouraged. Just understand that all the levels of your life you have to go through to mature, to enter into God's promise. I thank you, Jesus, for everyone of your sons and daughters. And this is only the beginning, guys. God has so much amazing stuff for us. Just get ready, and you're gonna be in the middle of it. God's gonna do amazing things with you. I thank you, Jesus. I worship you. And everybody said, amen. Give him a shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus.